Psalm 91. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. An exposition from the treasury of David. Verse 1. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. The blessings here promised are not for all believers, but for those who live in close fellowship with God. Every child of God looks towards the inner sanctuary and the mercy seat. Yet all do not dwell in the most holy place. They run to it at times and enjoy occasional approaches, but they do not habitually ride in the mysterious presence. Those who through rich grace obtain unusual and continuous communion with God, so as to abide in Christ, and Christ in them, become possessors of rare and special benefits, which are missed by those who follow afar off and grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Into the sacred place those only come who know the love of God in Christ Jesus, and those only who dwell there to whom to live is Christ. To them the veil is rent, the mercy seat is revealed, the covering cherubs are manifest, and the awful glory of the Most High is apparent. These, like Simeon, have the Holy Ghost upon them, and like Anna, they depart not from the temple. They are the courtiers of the great king, the valiant men who keep watch around the bed of Solomon, the virgin souls who follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Elect, out of the elect, they have attained to the first three, and shall walk with the Lord in white, for they are worthy. Sitting down in the august presence chamber where shines the mystic light of the Shekinah, they know what it is to be raised up together, and to be made to sit together with Christ in the heavenlies. And of them it is truly said that their conversation is in heaven. Special grace like theirs brings with it special immunity. Outer court worshippers little know what belongs to the inner sanctuary, or surely they would press on until the place of nearness and divine familiarity become theirs. Those who are the Lord's constant guests shall find that He will never suffer any to be injured within His gates. He has eaten the covenant salt with them, and has pledged for their protection. They shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The omnipotent Lord will shield all those who dwell with Him. They shall remain under His care as guests, under the protection of their host. In a most holy place, the wings of the cherubim were the most conspicuous objects, and they probably suggested to the psalmist the expression here employed. Those who commune with God are safe with Him. No evil can reach them, for the outstretched wings of His power and love cover them from all harm. This protection is constant. They abide under it, and it is all sufficient, for it is the shadow of the Almighty, whose omnipotence will surely screen them from all attack. No shelter can be imagined at all comparable to the protection of Jehovah's own shadow. The Almighty Himself is where His shadow is, and hence those who dwell in His secret place are shielded by Himself. What a shade in the day of noxious heat! What a refuge in the hour of deadly storm! Communion with God is safety. The more closely we cling to our Almighty Father, the more confident may we be. Verse 2. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. To take up a general truth and make it our own by personal faith is the highest wisdom. It is but poor comfort to say the Lord is a refuge, but to say he is my refuge is the essence of consolation. Those who believe should also speak. I will say, for such bold avowals honor God and lead others to seek the same confidence. Men are apt enough to proclaim their doubts, and even to boast of them. Indeed, there is a party nowadays of the most audacious pretenders to culture and thought, who glory in casting suspicion upon everything. Hence it becomes the duty of all true believers to speak out and testify with calm courage to their own well-grounded reliance upon their God. Let others say what they will. Be it ours to save the Lord, he is our refuge. But what we say we must prove by our actions. We must fly to the Lord for shelter, and not to an arm of flesh. The bird flies away to the thicket, and a fox hastens to its hole. Every creature uses its refuge in the hour of danger. And even so, in all peril, or fear of peril, let us flee to Jehovah, the eternal protector of his own. Let us, when we are secure in the Lord, rejoice that our position is unassailable, for he is our fortress as well as our refuge. No moat, portcullis, drawbridge, wall, battlement, and dungeon can make us so secure as we are when the attributes of the Lord of hosts environ us around. Behold, this day the Lord is to us instead of walls and bulwarks. Our ramparts defy the leaguered hosts of hell. Foes in flesh and foes in ghostly guise are alike balked of their prey when the Lord of hosts stands between us and their fury, and all other evil forces are turned aside. Walls cannot keep out the pestilence, but the Lord can. As if it were not enough to call the Lord his refuge and fortress, he adds, "My God, in him will I trust." Nor can he say no more. My God means all, and more than all, that heart can conceive by way of security. It was most meet that he should say, "In him will I trust," since to deny faith to such a one were willful wickedness and wanton insult. He who dwells in an impregnable fortress naturally trusts in it. And shall not he who dwells in God feel himself well at ease and repose his soul in safety? Oh, that we more full carried out the psalmist's resolve. We have trusted in God. Let us trust him still. He has never failed us. Why then should we suspect him? To trust in man is natural to fallen nature. To trust in God should be as natural to regenerated nature. Where there is every reason and warrant for faith, we ought to place our confidence without hesitancy or wavering. Dear listener, pray for grace to say, "In whom will I trust?" Verse 3, "Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler." Assuredly, no subtle plot shall succeed against one who has the eyes of God watching for his defense. We are foolish and weak as poor little birds, and are very apt to be lured to our destruction by cunning foes. But if we dwell near to God, he will see to it that the most skillful deceiver shall not entrap us. Satan, a fowler who betrays, and guard his souls a thousand ways, shall be foiled in the case of the man whose high and honorable condition consists in residence within the holy place of the Most High, and from the noisome pestilence. He who is a spirit can protect us from evil spirits. He who is mysterious can rescue us from mysterious dangers. He who is immortal can redeem it from mortal sickness. There is deadly pestilence of error. We are safe from that if we dwell in communion with the God of truth. There is a fatal pestilence of sin. We shall not be infected by it if we abide with the thrice holy one. There is all a pestilence of disease, and even from that calamity our faith shall win immunity if it be of that high order which abides in God. walks on in calm serenity, and ventures all things for duty's sake. Faith, by cheering the heart, keeps it free from the fear which, in times of pestilence, kills more than the plague itself. It will not in all cases ward off disease and death. But where the man is such as the first verse describes, it will assuredly render him immortal, where others die. If all the saints are not so sheltered, it is because they have not all such a close abiding with God, and consequently not such confidence in the promise. Such special faith is given to all, for there are diversities in the measure of faith. It is not of all believers that the psalmist sings, but only of those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Too many among us are weak in faith, and in fact, place more reliance in a feel or globule than in the Lord and Giver of life. And if we die of pestilence as others died, it is because we acted like others and did not in patience possess our souls. The great mercy is that in such a case our deaths are blessed, and it were well with us, for we are forever with the Lord. Pestilence to the saints shall not be noisome, but the messenger of heaven. Verse 4. He shall cover you with your feathers, and under his wings shall you trust. A wonderful expression. Had it been invented by an uninspired man, it would have verged upon blasphemy. For who should dare to apply such words to the infinite Jehovah? But as he himself authorized, yea, dictated the language, we have here a transcendent condescension, such as it becomes us to admire and adore. Does the Lord speak of his feathers, as though he likened himself to a bird, who will not see in this a matchless love? The divine tenderness, which should both woo and win our confidence. Even as a hen covers her chicken, so does the Lord protect the souls which dwell in him. Let us cower down beneath him for comfort and for safety. Hawks in the sky and snares in the field are equally harmless when we nestle so near the Lord. His truth, his true promise, and his faithfulness to his promise shall be thy shield and buckler. Double armor has he who relies upon the Lord. He bears a shield and wears an all-surrounding coat of mail, such as the force of the word buckler. To quench fiery darts, the truth is a most effectual shield. In a blunt all swords, it is an equally effectual coat of mail. Let us go forth to battle thus harnessed for the war, and we shall be safe in the thickest of the fight. He has been so, and so shall it be till we reach the land of peace, near among the helm cherubim and sworded seraphim. We will wear no other ornament. His truth shall still be our shield and buckler. Verse 5. You shall not be afraid for the terror by night. Such frail creatures are we that both by night and by day we are in danger. And so sinful are we that in either season we may be readily carried away by fear. The promise before us secures the favorite of heaven both from danger and from the fear of it. Night is a congenial hour of horrors, when alarms walk abroad like beasts of prey or ghouls from among the tombs. Our fears turn a sweet season of repose into one of dread, and no angels are abroad and fill our chambers. We dream of demons and dire visitants from hell. Blessed is that communion with God which renders us impervious to midnight frights and horrors born of darkness. Not to be afraid is in itself an unspeakable blessing, since for every suffering which we endure from real injury, we are tormented by a thousand griefs which arise from fear only. The shadow of the Almighty removes all gloom from the shadow of night. Once covered by the divine wing, we care not what winged terrors may fly abroad in the earth, nor for the arrow that flies by day. Cunning foes lie in ambuscade, and aim the deadly shaft at our hearts. But we do not fear them, and have no cause to do so. The arrow is not made which can destroy the righteous, for the Lord has said, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. In times of great danger, those who have made the Lord their refuge, and therefore have refused to use a carnal weapon, have been singularly preserved. The annals of the Quakers bear good evidence to this. Yet probably the main thought is that from the cowardly attacks of crafty malice, those who walk by faith shall be protected. From cunning heresies they shall be preserved, and in sudden temptations they shall be secured from harm. Day has its perils as well as night. Arrows more deadly than those poisoned by the Indian are flying noiselessly through the air. And we shall be their victims unless we find both shield and buckler in our God. O believer, dwell under the shadow of the Lord, and none of the archers shall destroy you. They may shoot at you and wound you grievously, but your bow shall abide in strength. When Satan's quiver shall be empty, you shall remain uninjured by his craft and cruelty. Yea, his broken darts shall be to you as trophies of the truth and power of the Lord your God.